Hello and welcome to The Face Downs, your source for teaching news and all the new. We gotta be quick here. Trying to do it fast.
Excuse me.
Repeat.
Hello
yourself.
And welcome to The Face Downs, your source for TCG news and all things Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm Lucas.
I'm Ruben.
I'm Joe.
And we're on a tight time schedule because Joe has a baby.
Still has that baby.
Still has that baby.
Just hanging around.
That baby's still here, but we're here. Another week, another recording, and we're here to bring you one of our classics. Tis the season, as we do like to say. So we are here to present you all with a painful choice.
That's right. Fans of our episode, was it 4 episodes ago? Because we haven't done one of these in a while. We'll remember that we do some ban list predicting, and it is... It's ban list time? What do the dogs think? Is it ban list time?
Does Ollie think it's ban list time? Yeah, all right. Ollie, we're in there.
He's muted himself.
So, Painful Choice is our classic format where we each take 5 cards and, you know, put them up for decision. And we each choose one from the other's lists. And then we've got a little fun one at the end, which is our Snatch Steal. This is a card that is currently forbidden and that, if brought back to one, would kind of cause a little bit of commotion. And, you know, see as to why it could be brought back to one.
And they're usually extra deck cards because, let's be real, those are the commotioners.
I feel like spells are pretty commotion-y.
They are, but like putting a spell to one is usually like cool. They'll draw Painful Choice sometimes, which sucks, but it isn't as big of an impact as just Shockmaster being in the format, right?
Yeah.
It's just a whole nother ballpark. Speaking of which, my first unbanned Shockmaster. No.
No.
Who's making it? A rank 4 deck? I mean, come on, there's none of those in the format right now.
3-4s? That's too much commitment.
I can't get 3-4s on the field. What do
a
I look
number
like?
Monster?
Telenites?
No, couldn't be me.
You're talking
about after. It's a bit after dark around here.
All right. So we've each got 5 cards that we would like to adjust, whether that be bring off or add to the Forbidden and Limited list. So I guess we'll just start as we always do. And Lucas, what is your first painful choice?
All right. First painful choice. Rivalry, Tikaboo, and goes and match to one.
Okay.
I'm cheating. Those are the same card. They're the same card. I think they should be at one to prevent... the I out your rivalry, flip another rivalry thing from ever happening again. I'm taking issue with cards, as I usually do, that don't let you play your cards. And I think these are like the prime offenders of cards that just don't let you play your cards. And I think the way the format's gotten, where you have to auto include like 12 silver bullets to not lose to the 5 best decks, there just isn't room to just play like twin in the main. So the idea of like just draw the out is just laughable. Like these cards restrict you from even playing the cards that would be the out. Whereas cards like Skill Drain allow you to play your cards, right? Cards like, I don't know. There's not many floodgates that let you play your cards, but you know, of the playable ones, I think Skill Drain is the least offensive and these are the most offensive.
I found that like we all fought when Skill Drain was put to free. We're like, oh damn, you know, Skill Drain free, this is going to be toxic. But we actually found that like, yes, it's a good card, but it's not like they flip an auto win, you know?
It lets you play your cards. Like, there's some bad matchups. But
yeah, there is.
Your cards activate in hand or grave. You have ways to get your monsters off the field. There's so many outs.
Or if you play, like, Adventure, you can just out it with the equip spell that I've lost the name of right now. But
not you praising Adventure.
Exactly.
Not,
it's
not,
a great skill
not
right
Joe's,
now.
Joe's 180 on Adventure.
Yeah. Whereas, like, if you activate Right, summon the token, they flip Tikaboo or Rivalry in, like, a relevant deck. You aren't allowed to summon the monsters in your hand at all, which I think is just like, it's a toxic ruling and it's a way that Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, it stricts a little bit too close to the letter of the law with this stuff, where when you explain to someone like the Zombie World rivalry thing, they go, that doesn't make sense. And you go, yeah, it doesn't, but don't worry about it. This game's stupid.
Yeah.
So I think the less of that we have to deal with, the better. So
just put them more inviting for new players. Like...
put them to one. You'll still have to deal with them, but then when you out them, you don't have to just... I don't know.
What this
sometimes you
sounds
have to
like.
Work and bend over backwards to out them and take a really suboptimal line and then they just flip another one and you're like, well, what was the point? Like,
yeah.
I demonstrated good play and maneuvered my deck to out this card and you just had another one. So, GG, I guess.
I think what this is saying is you've played too much Eld Lich lately.
Maybe.
No, True Draco.
True Draco. Even worse.
Even worse. One diagram, by the way. One diagram.
Yep.
Okay, so we're kind of hitting those like you can only control X, or each player can only
over
X.
Floodgates.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, yeah, that's a pretty good one. Joe, what's your first one?
Well, I'm gonna stay on the theme of floodgates and ban Mystic Nine.
All right, spell mining cave.
Away.
Let us hear it, doll.
Yeah, let's hear the justification for this one, Joe.
I like having fun. And you think I like playing the game.
Game determinative spell cards aren't fun? Come on.
It's just, I'm so done with it. Like, it's the same sort of reason that you had with those floodgates you just spoke about. Like, you have to main an optimistic mind. And in that way, it like kind of, you know, you get punished if you don't, but you really don't want to because it can impact your deck quite badly if you're not playing like the most consistent sort of build or whatever, you know. I just don't like it. I think it's dumb. I hate Striker. So, yeah.
My favorite Sky Striker card.
Yeah, keep going. It is the best Sky Striker card.
It is. And like, I don't know. There's just something about like when a new player like comes into a hobby league and then they're like, oh, what does that do? And then you're just like, oh, well, look, you can't attack and you can't use effects. And then they're like, oh, so how do I win? Oh, you just get rid of Mystic Mind. Oh, but I left my MSTs at home.
Yeah, I got Nightmare Phoenix. Can that do it?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm kind of done with it. It's been around. Yeah. It's lingered for like years now. I think a lot of people have the same thing.
Yeah, you make the choice. Like, do I main Twin and then lose to like a deck that puts up 5 monster negates and no back row?
Mm.
No. Like, you need every card in your hand these days to be a board breaker or an extender.
Yeah.
Right?
Board breaker, starter, extender.
If it isn't that, you probably just lose to like literally any deck's turn one setup. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just done with it. I think a lot of people hold the same sentiment with it. So, yeah.
I think it had too strong of it. Yeah, I think it had too strong of a performing at the most recent NA champs. I think it's in the people's eyes, you know.
Yeah, we even talked about it. You know, we were like, why was Striker in Toss not playing
three Mystic Mind,
right? And we kind of came to the conclusion that Toss decks, it was a slow enough format that you could just play 3 Twin. Like, what was the oppressive, unbeatable turn one board? It was like the Pendulum deck that lost to Droll and lost to Dark Ruler and lost to everything. So, like, staring down an Orcus setup or a Tedra setup, you didn't need, like, Dark Ruler, Super Poly, Lightning Storm, evenly, like, sometimes Twin Imperm did it, right?
Yeah.
And that felt...
Imperm Cosmic. Like
That meant like, you know, having a Twin, having a Cosmic in your deck felt fine. Like, it was probably going to be good. Whereas, yeah, like now, if you open Twin Imperm, you're like, guess I lost, even though, like, that shouldn't be the case. You know, yeah.
Yep.
Mystic Mind, I don't know. Ban that
I think
shit.
We do know. It's gotta go. my first choice, I'm going to stick on the ban train or the hit train. I'm going to put Call Biter Zero. I think this card is incredulously unbalanced. And it's like single-handedly, it is the most game determinative card I think I see in this current format.
There's a lot of cards that were designed at a point in which Konami thought, instead of banning X, you know, instead of limiting Ash Blossom, we'll print Called By. It's like this way overpowered push in the other direction that turned out to just be a massive problem. Like, God, this card should have had so much changed about it, right? Like, at the very least, should be like only on cards that were activated in hand, have their effects negated, so it's not just better DD Crow, I think, is a big deal. I don't know.
Or just negate the effects on field.
So or in like, hand, yeah. Right? So, like, it's only, like, very specifically only for hand traps, and then is also quick play DD Crow, whereas the fact that it, like, is DD Crow and Imperm and Crossout Designator all rolled up into one, yeah, is kind of nuts.
And it's for 2 turns.
And it's for 2 turns.
Yeah, I think the thing that makes it dumb at the moment is the fact that is it a 1? So, like, when someone call buys you, you're like, That's the one, you know, well done.
And we just said that every deck's turn one setup kills you. So, you know, your only get out of jail often is to draw relevant hand traps and to sideboard, like, okay, this deck I'll put in Crow, this deck I'll put in Droll. And yeah, for a card to just catch all answer every single one of those cards, I think is a bit silly, right?
Yeah. I think it's got to go, gal.
It's probably one of the cards
that
Ash
counters Gamma and stuff.
Yeah. It's about the only card that, like, almost is an auto include in every deck as well.
Has been,
at the moment, So, like, I don't know. I feel like it needs to go.
The amount of deck builds I've gotten, I was like, what's the last, like, 4 cards? Ah, Call By. And I've got 3 more slots. Yeah.
Call By, Foolish.
Just all the good stuff. Yep, all right. Well, all right, Lucas. Painful choice number 2.
All right, my painful choice number 2 is I want Terratop to 3.
Yeah, I love this.
Mainly because I think its generic application is dead. You know, a lot of the things you were doing with Terratop aren't doable or good anymore. I don't think it's worth the include in like a pile deck. I just think help out, you know, some rogue decks and would be a cool flash from the past when you saw it. Like everyone would be like, oh, Terratop, I remember when you were a problem. And now it's not.
Now you're in a Shuriken.
I mean, if you, if you compare it to the adventure package, it puts two bodies on the field with no further effects. That is the biggest argument that this card can come back to 3, because the adventure package does all that with a removal spell and an Omni Negate, and it's a level 7, and it's all free special summons at like literally any point of the combo. You don't even have to lead on it, so you can... I mean, you know, like drawing Terratop when you've already started comboing is just like, oh, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Drawing into right, you're like, oh, right? And they're like, oh, cool. Yes. Now I have to deal with this. It's fine. Yeah, this card can come back to 3. Sell me some ultis, someone.
Please.
Feel free to hike up the price because I've decided it's getting unbanned. I don't know. Yeah. This card's fine.
Yeah. It's actually one of the ones I had on my list, so I've quickly changed one of mine. So I definitely agreed with you.
Get on,
get your Shurikings if it comes to 3.
You don't need summons 2. You can't even make a Shuriking.
Well, you get one more level 3.
I know, but like...
One thing I would say about it is it would kind of make, if the adventure package stayed around, it would like, it's a one card Cherubini into adventure package. But I mean, even that's like,
So is just
every Put other card in the deck.
Scorpio.
Have you heard of the Punk engine?
Yeah. I mean, it literally does the same as all of that, but like it's almost worse, really. So
I'm like just batting for Speedroid players at this point. I don't even know. Like it's just for them. It's literally just for them.
You guys got actually nothing from Synchro Storm, so like a Terratop would do you wonders. Like
it's one of those funny decks like Infernity where you can give them like Pot of Greed and Monster Reborn and they're like, well, we have one Archfiend. Like we can't do anything, right? Like our hands are tied. Anyway.
All right, Joe, number 2.
Number 2, I have Change of Heart to 3.
Sure. Oh, yeah, totally fine.
Before like, Mind Control to 3, Chad.
Yeah, I mean, both of those cards, I could kind of put like Change of Heart / Mind Control because like both of those cards aren't doing anything. We've seen it come back.
Do? Oh, target? Oh, crazy. What Sprite Elf say? Oh, can't be targeted. Oh.
I mean, Sprite Elf won't always be in the format, but yeah, sure. I mean, DM staples. Yeah.
Isn't Change of Heart now just kind of like a bad triple tactics?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Like
that doesn't put in the work like tactics does.
Yeah, so I mean, for that reason alone, it can come back. I don't think we really need to talk about it all that much. We were all like a bit like, oh, Change of Heart, that's cool when it first came out. And we thought that like maybe it would have done a little bit more, but I don't even think people sided it like for anything, you know?
It's just power creep, right?
Yeah, it's just not.
In a way, we want Change of Heart to be good so that we can't just sit around going Change of Heart is an unplayable card. Because it's free, it's like a removal spell that goes +1 and gives you material, and also you can attack and use the effects of the monster, so it can also go like +5 given the right deck.
But it's a normal spell and they're not banning anti-spell, so you know.
I don't want to like just let all normal spells run amok, because then you're just like, well, Painful Choice, it loses to anti-spell, so we can bring that back to 3. Like, obviously there's some boundaries towards like, you know, making cards normal spells as a balancing tool is fine, right? I think the reason people don't play Change of Heart is because it's a one of, so it's not reliable, and it's also not adaptable, right? Like you can't put it in going first, so.
Oh, at all.
I think if it was at 3, it would see a legitimate amount of sideboard play, just like Raigeki sees like a legitimate amount of sideboard play now that it's at 3. Because once it's a reliable, I am likely to draw into Change of Heart, then you can, you know, you can go, well, this deck loses to Change of Heart, right? Right now, you'd be like, oh, Change of Heart's really good against, like, XYZ deck, but I'm not likely to draw it, so I'm not going to bother. I think if it's at 3, it's a really easy thing to just put in and go, like, this is better than Dark Ruler against this deck, because they don't make spell negates.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's fine. Like, I honestly don't think it would warp the format or anything, so... Yeah,
I'm not really scared of Change of Heart.
This format, it would be complete trash.
I mean, next format, you're just going to mill all 3 copies before you get a chance to see it, so...
Mm. Again, yeah, I guess Painful Choice should be at 3 then, because it's just going to get milled. To be fair, it probably wouldn't make the cut. It's like, I guess you could painful choice a bunch of Ishizu cards to grave. That'd be pretty good.
Damn, that's crazy. Tier Ishizu, Ishizu.
Yeah, but like that's already what the deck does. So like, would it even change anything? It's like, I don't know. God.
No, change of heart to three is funny. My next one is Spellbooker Judgment to one. Vindicated because the OCG have put this to one.
And damn, has it been tearing up the format?
Absolutely not.
Whoa, that's crazy. You're telling me a card you can ash isn't good?
What? I mean,
that's crazy.
You're telling me a card from 2013 that's archetypal is not seeing
success?
You're
telling me Fate Jaugen isn't good enough? I mean, we're literally looking at a format that's like Winda Dragostapelia 3 back row hand trap. Like, Fate Jaugen ain't looking so hot.
Yep, there's not much to say about it really. Like, honestly, like, it can come back. It could pretty even go back to two, but potentially even three.
Yeah. I don't care.
I don't really mind. You know, give the spellbook play or something.
Yeah, it's 2013. Like,
yeah,
yeah. Like, you could put all the dragon rulers to one too. Like, let's be real.
Probably, yeah.
Dragon have some pretty good defenders these days.
The only thing that I would worry about is like dragon link in that way. But like, even then.
Fine.
I don't know.
You don't even play Tempest.
Nah, I don't know.
Which arguably is the best one in like generic dragons, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm thinking the baby ones, but yeah.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
You know what? I would like to see it.
Yeah, all let's right. do it.
Judgment to one. Lucas, painful choice number three.
All right, we're gonna get into some unbans because you guys are having
banning
some
everything.
No. Like we're all talking about stuff that can come back to one.
True.
Or more. I think. Every list, there has to be some customary pendulum unhits because, good lord, just let us play pendulum.
A crumb
of pendulum support. And I think this time the one that makes the most sense is Draco face off to three.
Because I don't know change why again.
I do not know why this is at one. Sorry, me and Joe just.
Same way.
I also
do you want to go first next time, Joe? Like two in a row. No, but of course, there's Draco Slayers coming out. This card is fun and genuinely like I like resolving this card. I think it's awesome. I don't think anyone would look at you funny for activating Draco face off in 2022.
It's once per turn.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand.
It's
why
really
this
powerful,
card.
But like,
yeah.
Pendulum can, again, they can get cards that say, set your scales, draw two, and, you know, get a free handy under the table. And people are like, it's not playable. Like, it's just insane.
Like, oh, it's not Electromite. Yeah.
Well, because of Master Rule 4. It's like the deck. Doesn't get to do the thing it's supposed to, and all of the pendulum cards were generally designed around having soul charge every turn, so the game is like scrambling to make that archetype or summoning mechanic playable again.
Absolutely. I mean, every list I look for pendulum stuff to come back because it's just it is the most thirsty summoning mechanic.
Has every deck building set not included a copium pendulum strategy that just flops and does nothing? We had Sulfur Cord. We're getting Valiance. We got... what else do we get? It feels like we get a pendulum set or deck every set.
We had the DDD support.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's just been heaps. Oh, that's our ride.
I don't know if you can hear that, but there's a ton of sirens going on out back.
Yeah. Welcome to the city living. Yeah. Every set is like, please put pendulums in a way. Literally Dimension Force. A whole bunch of pendulum support.
Realistically, they should just put like 15 pendulum cards to one or three tomorrow and just deal with the consequences because it is so trickling and sad to see these cards all peel off and do absolutely nothing. It feels almost like rude that Astrograph hasn't seen any success.
And it's getting a collector's rare. Like,
yeah, it feels like insulting to Astrograph's legacy that card is unplayable.
It's like, I don't know, I feel like they almost want to erase pendulums, but at the same time, they are trickle feeding things back in. They're like giving us a few extra cards, but you're right. Like nothing quite hits the same as like your lost the Electromite. There we go. They need the Electromite back, and like, I know I'm talking about a different card here, but like along the same lines, if they could almost unban everything that's pendulum on the list to a point.
Card, yeah,
yeah, because of the way they've changed the mechanic. I don't know. It just doesn't hold up against like everything else.
Yeah,
no.
And is this not a game that is just built upon mistake after mistake? Like, realistically, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is just a culmination of all of the biggest design mistakes in its history put together. And I feel like you can't just say, like, well, Pendulum's the one mistake we're not going to allow to come back. Because we still have quick play spells. Like, this game made a massive mistake at the very start, and we're still dealing with it. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Pendulum should just be at full power again, and we'll just deal with it like everything else we have to deal with in this.
Still loses to draw.
This stupid ass game.
Still loses to your one-off hand traps, and if there's no called by, then you're definitely being able to slam that one through.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, number three.
Actually kind of leads into my third one, because it is Pendulum related. I have said this one before, Kirin to one.
I mean, I love this choice. Give us a go.
I mean, we kind of went over it with this, with the Draco face-off. Like, Pendulum just needs something to, like, make it, you know, good again. Having a board of Pendulum Monsters and Baran and a Kirin, that sounds a little bit more, like, ominous than what we currently have, where it kind of just dies to anything.
It's funny, because new Endymion is, like, better than Kirin in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it does, yeah. And, like, Kirin is a really good card. Like, obviously, it would probably see play in every Pendulum deck, because why wouldn't you play it?
Yeah, why not?
But at the same time, I don't see it, like, holding up against the top decks at the moment. Like, they'll just get rid of it pretty easily for the most part, like a lot of non-targeting things in the format. I don't know, I feel like it would be fine if it came back. I wouldn't want to put it at anything more than one, because like Pendulum summoning two to three of those out in a turn is pretty unfair. I think at one it'll be fine.
I mean, I think the Magispectors are a really cool Pendulum engine.
I like them, yeah. Yeah,
they lost their own boss monster, right? Like, that sucks.
Yeah, also Kirin's once per turn. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's not threatening.
The scary thing about Kirin used to be, like...
It's recurring.
It repeats itself, right? You bounce itself, you Pendulum summon it back. It's like Apex Avion, but searchable in Pendulum decks, so it's way more consistent.
But yeah, one like, negate these days is...
Yeah, if you read new Endymion...
It's not even a negate, it's a bounce.
New Endymion can't be targeted when it has a spell counter. It's a negate.
Yeah.
It also floats into a spell. It also combines with things like Reflection to act as a bounce. So there's like a billion ways to like get main deck Pendulums onto the field that do stuff. And yet they still have to resolve their search spells. They have to, you know... not get Dark Ruler. There's like so many answers these days. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Magispector Kirin. I mean, hey, great Souls target.
I could see it being played in like decks as their Souls target as like a tribute summon. Like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Why not? Like, you can Selene it back.
I think at the same time, I was like, we're talking about this being a Souls target before Illusion was printed. So it's like, are you playing a quote unquote soft Garnet or a card that literally filters for the one you're looking for?
I think people are just afraid with the terminal velocity of like draw spells and extenders Pendulum has that there will just be one card that gets unbanned that actually just gives us Pepe too.
But they don't have that.
They won't though. And that's what's fine.
They don't have that terminal velocity of draw spells.
No, but like, you know, we got Illusion of Chaos and Magician Souls and Selene and. Like, there are a lot of ways that Pendulum post-Electromite's ban has gotten a lot of help, and it hasn't beyond the Pendulum, obviously, is a crazy card. And, like, everyone's just kind of, I think, a little bit afraid of, like, Pepe 2 just happening when one of these cards gets taken off, and suddenly it's just like, oh, that did it, that broke it.
Yeah, I think but there is a...
People said that about Astrograph, people said that about Monkey Board, it hasn't done that, so... What else is left, really?
Yeah, I think the reason we probably won't see a Pepe 2 is because of the rule changes. Like, the Master Rule just won't allow it to be what it used to be. Like, they realized the mistake of Pendulum in the first place, where, like, you could just spam out 4 monsters, 5 monsters a turn, go into your stuff, and then, like, do it again all the next turn. Like, and you just can't do that anymore. So, like, I feel like, yeah, Pendulum needs some love, and it needs some support, more, like, cards off the list. It needs something, because... I know a lot of people out there that love Pendulums. Like, it's what they've always played and have played it for, like, ages. I can think of, like, Jamie Meeson down in Dunedin, for example. We got, like, Ryan up here who plays it all the time. And, like, those players just want something to, like, keep going, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I do. My third one, I'll stick on the Pendulum train. I've got Plush Fighter 1. quite literally, what is this doing at 1?
Yeah.
What is this doing? Wow, that's crazy.
The new Draco Slayer is just better Plush Fire.
Literally. Oh, I get to summon a Trick Clown from deck? Okay.
The new Draco Slayer summons a card that searches any field spell from deck.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
What am I going to pick? A one summon or a search? Like, I just don't think... I think Plush Fire has more than enough been on here. I think, again, whoa, it's not once per turn. Okay. Mm. For what? What are we doing with it, Gal?
And again, if you play cards like Trick Clown and Damage Juggler in your deck, those cards don't trade for negates.
No. Yeah.
Those cards don't break boards. Are they modular enough going first and second to be worth playing? Shadol don't play Trick Clown anymore. Like, it's just, it's a dated concept. I mean,
it's like 6 years old. I mean,
yeah.
Literally.
It can go.
Clash Rebellion 2015? Yeah. Or end of 2000?
Yeah.
Oh no, Clash Rebellion 2015, right? After Secrets of Eternity?
It's old.
Because Clash was docs, right?
Oh yeah, 2016, right?
Yeah.
6 years old.
Yeah. 6 years old.
Just headed to primary school.
Yeah. Hey. this card, I'm fine. This is like chaff on the ban list that needs to be culled.
Yep.
Lucas, number four.
I want to say anti-spell so bad, but it's getting a reprint. Can I still say anti-spell?
Yeah, sure.
Right. Do it.
This is the one of the floodgates that I think should be banned. Now, personally, I think every card from DM should be banned. I really think that. Except, like, the vanilla monsters, I guess, because they support old archetypes. But legitimately, I think every time a card from DM sees play, it's toxic, right? It's never a good feeling. Even, like, King of the Swamp and Telemans, it's like, get it out of there. Just get him out of there. I don't want to see it. And if you think about Anti-Spell, this is a card from 2003. You know, this card was designed at a time in which games lasted like 15 turns. So the whole point of the card's design is that it's meant to slow you down a little bit. And it was completely unplayable back then. Because being slowed down, what? It kept you from getting, you know, smashing grounded a little bit.
Your fissure.
Yeah, your fissure gets delayed. And it's just come to this point now where, again, you know, games last a turn. Every deck can OTK. Every deck can make a turn one setup that is unbreakable unless you draw a selection of cards that are balanced around being normal spells, right? Dark Ruler can never be a quick play. It's just that should not be allowed. Ultimate Slayer cannot be a quick play. It would just be way too good. So they're balanced by being normal spells, and yet this card designed in 2003 is just this hard counter to cards designed for the 2022 game to be playable, right? Like Ultimate Slayer makes the game playable.
You're saying ban on this? Ban.
Yeah, ban it and ban every single trap card and every single spell card from DM. Like, just, I know Change of Heart to 3 and all that crap, but like, none of these cards would be designed today, right? Like, none of them would be designed. Maybe, you know, a couple of the tech spells that we've seen play here and there, you know, King of the Swamp, I could see being printed in, you know, Power of the Elements, right? Like, sure. It's an Aqua that discards to search poly. I could see that, right? No one would design a card like Anti-Spell now. I don't think. It would have a very different set of restrictions on it. It might even pay reference to, like, you know, quick play spells must be set the turn before activating them, right? It would be like this kind of, you know, balanced idea. But no, this card should go. And I know it's getting reprinted, and that's just so
insulting.
It's so shallow, and so we haven't reprinted this card in a while, so let's get our money before we ban it. It's so, like, cynical that it's getting a reprint, I think.
Its last reprint was 3 years ago.
Exactly. It seems to me like a shallow cash grab and one of those banless decisions that will be entirely dictated by, like, money.
Our current painful choice list is kind of like, we like Pendulum and we hate Eldritch, is what I'm picking up.
I mean, I like playing my cards, right?
Yes.
Pendulum, for the most part,
lets you play, at least.
Let you play, right? Like, they do set up really crazy boards, and they can do a lot of extension, but, like, there isn't a single card in Pendulum that just says, like, you know, you can't activate your cards.
When it used to be that way, it used to be you had to end on a Spheres and main deck a card that was, like, you cannot special summon.
Which, like, didn't out your spells. It didn't stop your power plays. It didn't turn off hand traps. Like, there were a lot of things. Yeah, you could end on Sloth, but, like, Farfa did a tournament where he banned 150 cards, and people still Magician of Black Chaos maxed each other. You know, like, if you take away 150 cards, there's still ways in Yu-Gi-Oh! To prevent your opponent from playing the game. That's the point of the game at this point.
I think it's
built on its mistakes.
Yeah, you're right. And the card runs along the same lines as Vanity's Emptiness and Imperial Order. Like, it's one of those cards where your opponent flips it up, and it's almost like an eye-rolling moment when you're just like, oh, can you not?
Because please. The skill of Yu-Gi-Oh! Is that every deck has a turn one FTK setup. Every deck can OTK, and the way you get good at Yu-Gi-Oh! Is learning the specific choke points of those combos, the interaction points for each strategy, knowing that, like, I have to keep Rika off the field spell, or knowing that you have to, you know, stop XYZ, you know, Punk from getting to Chaos Ruler. Like, there are these little pivotal moments that you go, if I can prevent them from doing this, I'm not getting FTK'd. You can't do that with an unknown anti-spell in hand they set at the end of their turn. There's no point in my play pattern, decision-making, whatever, that I could have played around that, right? And I think that's just, like, so annoying. It's so annoying. It has to stop. Has to stop. I want to play my cards. Every time I lose, I want to be able to play my cards. I think that's not unfair, right?
I've literally taken out cards like Ultimate Slayer. Because I was like, I'm just, there's too much anti-spell. I'm boarding in 3 to 4 cards that will do nothing.
And I don't think negates are toxic. Like, if you negate my 5 cards, that's on me, right? Like, I tried. It's just that matter of, like, oh, 3 of these cards in my hand now might as well have been banished face down.
Anti-spell might as well read that, right? It might as well read.
Anti-spell might as well say, flip negate. This card up, your opponent can't activate normal spells for the rest of this game. It legitimately could just say that, and it would have functionally the same text.
Yeah,
because even like if you get to set them, they're just going to get popped, right? Every card's a removal spell these days, so they're not even going to last a turn, let alone you, if you don't actually break your opponent's board.
Mm. Yep, I agree.
Enjoy your collector's res, everybody.
Love the fragrance. Joe, number 4.
I'm going to throw Hero Players a bone with a bit of a double whammy here. No, that's what you get free. But, you know, I'm going to say Destiny Hero, Malicious, and Fusion Destiny to free.
Easy.
Stunning.
That's fine.
I mean, yeah. Hello, Starlight DPE.
True.
I think the writing might be a bit on the wall, sis. Like,
And also, like, you know, they do show heroes some love. Like, and they are trying to bring it back into the frame. And, like, surely it's like a no-brainer by Konami to like take these cards off and just be like, here, have them, full power, let's go.
It's so funny that Mali was at 3, put to 2 because of its like power in synchros, put to 3 because of power creep, then put back to 2 because it was pretty good in like
Goki.
Like Xyz format, and then back to 3, and then back to 2 because it was pretty good in Goki, and then back to 3, and then back to 2 because actually it's really cracked in Link decks, and we just went to MR5, and then back. It's like, every time a new summoning mechanic or anything happens, they put this card to 2 because they're like, ooh, we can't let people have 3 Mali. That would be crazy. And then every time, it just turns out it wouldn't have been a problem. Like,
never.
Again, it wasn't the problem card in Goki, that's for sure.
No.
Yeah.
It's a good card, not the problem.
And the same applies with Fusion Destiny as well. Like, and now that Anaconda's gone, it might bring a little bit of DPE back into a random decks, but then you're still playing, like, you have to hard draw your Fusion Destiny, and like that's a choice, right?
You're committing the 5-card engine.
Yeah.
If you're not playing Hero. Hero, it's literally an extender and basically a win con. The card is insane. So
that's the thing, like, it really is not insane. Like, the text on Fusion Destiny is really fair and balanced. Like, I guess it could say the entire turn, but that would lock out actual hero play, but locked into dark heroes, right? Like, even the hero deck gets locked by this card. Like,
yeah,
read Brand of Fusion.
Yeah, the turn,
you know, like, you know, it's not as bad as that, so like, why not, you know?
I agree. Yeah, no, it's completely fine. And Mali the 3, like, you know, go find me the extra link deck that is still playable that would play 3 Mali. I mean, like, it makes the Tealament Beatrice deck better that no one plays because it's bad. I mean, that's hardly a fear of mine.
You're adding hard garnets to your strategies. Like, okay, I guess maybe you can put the mag at the bottom. Okay.
If my Tealament opponent ever summons Destiny Hero Dangerous, I'm winning that. Like, I just feel like I'm winning that game because they just wasted a Tealament effect on a bad card.
Yeah.
It's just how I feel.
Yeah.
No, I can totally see that. My number 4... Floodgates. I'm saying Dimensional Fissure to 2 or 3.
See, I like that. Yeah.
I think Dimensional Fissure is a continuous spell, first of all, so it sticks around. It's not something that just like pops up and then leaves. I think it's a really, you know, it's pretty interactive.
It like, dies to Nightmare Phoenix. I think that should be like the baseline for Floodgates, right?
Yeah. Do you die to pretty much 99% mained back removal? Yes, then it's okay. I also think Dimensional Fissure is like the least problematic. It's only monsters. It's a continuous spell.
It's not a surprise either. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. It's not something you can reactively do. Like, your opponent can't go Shadow Fusion, you chain macro, can't chain Dimensional Fissure. Mm. Like, the threat immediately puts itself on the field. And then you go, okay, I now have to deal with this. You know? Yes, it's degenerate. Dimension Shifter is, you know, insane. But I think that, you know,
Fissure's way fairer. And also, like, yeah, it's like an archetype card, right?
Yeah.
Like, Dimensional Fissure will only see play in, like, exactly Goatee and Weather Painters, right? Like, those are the only two decks that I could see being like, yeah, yeah, D Fissure, right? Because other decks, it's like, well, I'll just play D Shifter, or I'll play different Dimension Ground, or I'll play something. Most decks don't need everything to be banished during their own turn badly. But, like, there are a couple decks that would play it. Like, maybe Thunder Dragon would play it. I don't know. It seems fair. I like it.
But it's something that's immediately presented. It's not a surprise.
It dies to Nightmare Phoenix. Yeah. That's a good thing.
And it's susceptible to every piece of back removal. Every piece. I think it's relatively fair. If not to three, I would at least.
You can't pop it with Shadow Dragon, so actually. Let me think about that one. It's also only monster cards.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, enjoy your Eldritch traps, they still go to grave, right? Like,
yeah,
you can still resolve virtual world effects under this effect. Like, it's really fair. It's really fair.
Yeah, sorry to the BA players. Can't resolve.
All two of you.
Yeah.
Three of them, I guess, technically.
Yeah. Yeah, rank three. Lucas, what is your last painful choice?
My last one is Dimensional Shifter.
Ban?
I think it should be banned, yeah. Funnily enough, for the exact reasons that Dimensional Fissure is completely fine. Dimensional Shifter is another overcompensation card, like Called by the Grave, at a time where I think graveyard strategies were by far the strongest decks. You had, like, Orcus, Salamangreat, Skystriker, Thunder Dragon, right? Like, those were the best decks. Ironically, with Thunder Dragon being the one that wanted D-Shifter to resolve, but it very much felt like it was like Konami experimenting. You know, the Nibiru, Dark Ruler, and Shifter are all experiments. And I think Dark Ruler and Nibiru turned out to be fairly successful experiments. Dark Ruler, reluctantly, I don't like that card, but Nibiru is a fantastically designed card. Nibiru is one of my favorite cards to exist in the game, and I think is like a defining factor of Yu-Gi-Oh's balancing. Whereas D-Shifter, I just feel like, ironically, as the weakest of the three on launch, has turned out to be one of the least future-proofed cards, because at the time of printing, it was intended to have a lot of downside. Even Thunder Dragon's like, well, we play this, we can't play, you know, I'm trying to think at the time of release what was legal, but, like, you know, cards that Thunder Dragon played in the past, like the Chaos Dragons, like Fairy Tale Snow,
Brilliant Fusion,
extenders like that are all turned off if you have to start with Dimension Shifter. But then they printed a bunch of decks, or retroactively supported a bunch of decks that just do not use the graveyard at all. And while that should be a downside, you know, these decks often get pushed because they can't use the graveyard. Cards like decks like Flounderies, where they go to the banished zone in all ways except the actual meaning of banished, because it's just your second hand, right? Cards getting banished is meant to be a place where you can't access them, and yet every single Flounder card is just added back to your hand if banished. So the downside of the card no longer exists. And therefore, D-Shifter just serves as a card that if you draw it, you get an absolutely inanswerable unfair advantage over your opponent that does not factor into their skill or deck building in any way.
It will turn skip people.
And I don't think it's fair to just say don't play decks with graveyard interaction, because then, you know, that's like saying don't play Altergeist because Red Reboot exists.
Don't play spells because Anti-Spell exists.
Yeah, like, that's not a good reason to keep a card legal, I think. Especially a card that is literally only answerable by Gamma. Like, one, I know you can activate it during your opponent's turn and it can get called by it, but, like, most of the time you see this card, it's being activated on your opponent's first turn and you just can't do anything. The fact that it lingers for two turns, I think, is just, it was not a good idea.
Yeah.
Because it was meant to be a downside, right? Like, it was meant to be like, oh, if you do it on your opponent's turn, it hurts you too. But then it turns out it just turns it into a turn one, two turn floodgate, which is just horrible.
It, like, single-handedly keeps Flounderies around, in a way. Yep. Like, because if they don't open Shifter, like, that matchup's kind of fair, in a way. Whereas it's, if they open Shifter, you're like, okay, I lose, cool.
The thing is, like, Flu having access to it going second is kind of okay, right? Like, it gives them a chance, but no, they just go, oh, turn one, Shifter, combo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I have the outs to your board, but I can't play because I've been shifted. I mean, it's so stupid.
Wow. I can no longer use Veiler, yeah. Droll, Crow that you were never using anyway. Get a draw, like...
Droplet is turned off. Yep.
Yeah. Ghost Ogre. Yeah. There's just so many things that say discard to the grave.
That's the other thing too. Cards like Droplet that have been like balanced around the new format are useless. It's just like that makes it even worse, right? Where you can't even activate your cards. Funny.
You've gone pretty much all five of yours have been I hate floodgates.
Let's go. I mean, am I wrong?
No. I mean, you're definitely not wrong. I agree. Like floodgates have been around in the game for a long time. It's the one thing that everyone always complains about. And then there's those evil people out there that just love flipping pancakes.
Yeah.
I think there's been fair floodgates, right?
Yeah, there has been.
I think but... I like floodgates. Like I like skill drain, right? I think some floodgates that in some ways like punish limited deck building or limited knowledge of your own deck and ways in which you can play around them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I love that my the Telenite list that I always bring to old events is playing a rank 3 because Stygian Dirge was in the format. That's just clever, right? Like, oh, they're going to try and Stygian Dirge me, so I'll play Zen Mains and then outs
that outs the Stygian Dirge.
Yeah. That's cool, right? Like, that doesn't just say pass turn.
I mean, there's so much like, ways around skill drain, right? Like, you can do things like Baron and then Droplet to get your own Baron off the board so it resolves off board. And, like, you know, there's so many little things that you can do like, just to get rid of it. Like,
a small Lights One package to beat Shadow Imprisoning Errors, right?
Yeah.
There were cool things you could do back then that just aren't possible. Like, that's not how these floodgates operate these days, right? Like, again, what is the play around Shifter? In Telemann, it's play Baguska, a floodgate to counter the floodgate. And that's not, again, that's just not productive Yu-Gi-Oh!
No.
Immediately takes us to Monkey Yu-Gi-Oh! Which is boring.
Yeah. All right, Joe, what's your last one?
My last one's Armageddon Night to Pray.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Normal summon?
Yeah, it's a normal summon.
Delicious to grave with.
It's a good card, like and I feel like there will be a couple of decks out there that will probably utilize three of them, but like at the same time, when was the last time you saw Armageddon Knight in a top deck?
Read Rhino Heart. you know?
Yeah.
Cards need to have three effects now. Armageddon Knight has one.
Read Swap Frog. Like
it's fine. I feel like it could come back. It might help. Anyone who's trying to hold on to some sort of rank 4 thing, it might help Infernity players. You know, it will do something, but like, it wouldn't do enough to like destroy what we've got currently. If that makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just too old. Like
it is. Yeah.
When this card is summoned, you can. Yeah. So it's just like I just don't think Armageddon Knights. Like it is literally a shadow of what it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. Like. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see someone do something with it if it was at three, but like, I can't honestly see it doing anything in any of the current meta decks. Like,
it's funny that Yu-Gi-Oh! Has progressed now where there was a time where we had three Rotor, three Terraforming, three Upstart, and everyone immediately went like, this is OP, you know, you're playing a 34 card deck, you know, this is making decks too strong, and they were all limited. And now I just feel like if Rotor was at three, I'd be like, I don't even know if I want to play three Rotor. Like, what happens if you go second and you draw three Rotor? Like, you lose, right?
Yeah.
Consistency is no longer as important because every deck is just super consistent. And so...
And guess what? They'll flip any spells. You can't activate any of them either. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I like Armageddon Knight. I don't think it would even be like... It's not seen play now.
Armageddon Knight, send Dragon, pop the anti-spell. Let's go.
That does do it.
That does do it. You know, not under Dimensional Shifter.
No, not under D-Shifter.
Yeah. My last one... I think this is kind of more of like a balancing thing. I would like to see Super Poly banned. I think, you know, I don't think it'll happen because they just print a Garura. I just think Can't Respond is still one of the best lines of text they've ever printed. And it is the least conditional. Yes. You have to send every type for Droplet. The Ultimate Slayer and Dark Ruler are specifically monsters. Super Poly being, as you know, the unofficial spell speed 4 is incredulous to me. Like it's just too strong.
Yeah, I'd like to see it go. Like you have to play it because your opponent's going to be on it, right?
Yes.
If I'm playing a Fusion Mirror, I wish we could just like Gentleman's out of Super Poly because it makes the game like single-handedly unwinnable if one of you draws it and the other of you doesn't.
Yeah.
Especially if it's the mirror. Oh my god.
I mean, and Joe, you were around during this time. You were around when Simpoli was there with the fusion mirrors.
It's dumb. Like, it definitely, like, made it so you kind of had to play your boards around the Super Poly all the time. And you kind of tiptoeing around each other, like, the whole game, and it, like, dragged on. Lots of games went into time because you're, like, playing quite a bit more, like, conservative and, like, holding back a bit. And I'm not saying that, you know, like, without it, you'll just go hell for leather, because there are other cards that can just destroy you, like Dark Ruler and stuff. Like, so, I don't know. Like, I've never enjoyed it. Like, over the weekend, I was watching people getting Super Polyed a little bit, and, like, you can just see, like, when they put down Super Poly, they're like, oh. And then the other player just sits there and goes, yeah, well, do it. Like, I can't do anything, so get on with it, you know?
I do it too, but when you get Super Polyed, you kind of, like, react and, like, lift up a trap card, and then you just go, like, no, I can't. Yeah, like, what am I even doing? I can't respond.
Yeah, sometimes I look at cards in my hand, and I'm like, ah, can I get back from this?
I would, I would legitimately love, right? Because I actually quite like, I've been playing a lot of tier mirrors and stuff like that, and I think it's actually really fun in the tier mirror, because all of the opponent's cards float. So every time you Super Poly them, they get something, right?
Well, it's same with the Shadol stuff back in the day.
But the Shadol's just floated into, like, spells. Oh, I'll add back a spell, right? This is like, no, I'm going to float into more monsters, and we're going to enter, you know, a Fluanderies mirror for a minute. And that can be quite fun and skillful, like navigating that, you know, ending on specific kinds of boards that can't be Super Polyed. But it is like an arms race thing where, like, if Super Poly didn't exist, you wouldn't have to do that. I would love if Super Poly got an errata, which is unlikely.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
If it just said this card can't be negated. I think it would be a lot more fun and wouldn't lose its, like, its appeal as, like, a board breaker. Because, of course, if it could be negated, it would be trash and no one would play it.
Yeah. Even it be... like, the droplet thing would kind of be interesting, you know, if you were like...
Droplet would be cool. I just think can't be negated, right?
Because... whatever card you discard, they can't respond with, or something along those lines, you know, like...
I think if it's like, if it can't be negated, it means it still breaks,
like,
boards.
Yeah, like the activation and effect of this card cannot be negated.
But your opponent can still do clever stuff to play around it, right? Like, say they have a fusion and a dark on field, you Super Poly them. Maybe they chain, like, their own Super Poly and get their monsters off, turn them into a different thing, and then suddenly your Super Poly is bad or resolves in a weird way, right? That would be cool. But yeah, the fact that it can't be responded to, I think, leads to play experiences that are just unintuitive for, especially, like, learning players, where I was, like, playing against a player just on the weekend. He was playing Blue Eyes, and he made Blue Eyes ultimate alternative white dragon, whatever that card's called, and I Super Polyed with it. He goes, well, you can't target my monster. I go, well, it doesn't target. And he goes, can I respond? And I go, no. And he goes, can I take something back? And I'm like, well, kind of, but, you know, it just leads to this thing of just, like, such a feel bad, because every decision they made didn't matter, because they made a fusion monster. That was their mistake, and that is quite punishing.
Yeah, no, I like it. I feel like it.
To me, it's just the fact it's unable to be responded to.
Because fusing with your opponent's monsters, I think, should be a card.
Yeah,
I think
totally.
That's a fine card design.
Even as, like, someone who plays fusion, like, base decks a lot, like, I don't really like using it. I feel unfair when it resolves in, like, its most devastating way, I suppose, where, like, you just win a game because you Super Poly them. Like, I don't like that. It's not very skillful, like, in a way. Like, it does, I guess, punish players that, like, play into the Super Poly a little bit, but, like, I don't know. I never enjoyed it.
There's skill involved in playing around it. There's definitely skill. Like, this is not a floodgate or a card that, like, you lose to because they drew it. Because, like I said, when I play the mirror, I make, like, a board of... It's like when I make the tier board, it's like Collider Heart, Elf, Dweller. You can't Super Poly that board at all, and it still kind of wins you the mirror, so it's this, like, almost adaptive skill ability to, like, you know how your deck works and be able to build different things with it. Because I do see a lot of tier limit players just autopilot onto the same board and then lose to Super Poly, and they go, well, that wasn't very fair. And it's like, well, you could have, like... remotely played around that card's existence.
Yeah.
Like, in one way.
In one way, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's five painful choices. So if we just everyone wants to go over theirs, so we can each pick one from the lists. I'll go first. So my five were Spellbook of Judgment to one, Called by the Grave banned, Super Polymerization banned, Plush Fire, the Perform Age Plush Fire to one, and Dimensional Fissure to three. Joe, what were your three?
My ones were Mystic Mind banned, Change Your Heart to three, Kirin to one, Melee and Fusion Destiny to 3, and Armageddon Knight to 3.
All right. Yep. And Lucas, what were your 5?
Mine was the Monka flips to 1, so that's Rivalry, Tikaboo, Gozen match. I put Terra Top to 3. I put Draco Face Off to 3. I banned Anti-Spell and I banned Shifter.
All right. Joe, from Lucas's list, out of the 5 listed, what would you pick as the painful choice?
I'm going to go Anti-Spell ban, just because I don't like losing to it either.
Hell yeah, brother.
I'm going to go Draco Face Off to 3. All right. Yep. Joe, or Lucas, off Joe's 5, what would you pick?
I think Kieran to 1 super realistic.
I think I'm definitely, I mean, I love, I'm team Armageddon Knight to 3, you know, give some, GX eras back.
Give me a reason to buy a third one.
Yeah, exactly.
But two, Dark Illusion?
Phantom Darkness.
Phantom Darkness supers.
They're very gorgeous.
They are nice,
And Lucas, off my 5, which one would, what would you pick as your painful choice?
I like Diefy to 3, ironically. I like Floodgates that invoke skill.
Yeah.
Like that actually create interesting play experiences. So I like that one, yeah.
And Joe?
I'll go Plushfire, I think, just because it's a realistic one as well.
All right.
Pendulum.
Always Team Pendulum.
Team Pendulum.
I mean, it is like this jarring thing that like 25% of the ban list is Pendulum cards, right? Like that is just like they need to address that at some point.
Yeah. come on, gal. It's not. You change the rules for a reason. Don't salt the wound.
Well, you read Rat Pier and then you read Plush Fire, and it's like, well, one of these cards was a massive problem and one of them wasn't.
Mm.
You know, it was in a very specific meta in a very specific deck. Rat Pier is a problem at all points.
Every single point in time.
Yeah, until it's not. I mean, eventually we'll be like, Rat Pier, that card sucks.
I really don't think we'll get there.
Not yet, but it will be one day, right? It'll be like a card that goes +2 on normal summon. I mean, that's like... Every card does that.
We're 5 years after Rapier's printing, and I still would go, that card come back to more than one? Can't come back to more than one?
Probably.
Yeah. All right. Now it's time for the Snatch Steal. This is a segment where we each take a card that is currently banned and would theorize or test the experiment of bringing it to one, just like Snatch Steal was in the January 2014.
I think it's just expanded to like the hot take.
Yeah.
The screw the rules, let's just play with this card again.
This is the what I like to call the Kyber Corp, screw the rules, I have money.
Like the, I want Block Dragon to be back. Why? I just like it. I want to play with it again.
Yeah.
I know it's not a good idea, but whatever.
All right. So yeah, this is our Snatch Steal segment. Lucas, what is your Snatch Steal?
It's Master Plan to 1, which I think you've had on the list as like a reasonable thing. It's completely unreasonable, but I want there to be a good link deck, and there isn't. I kind of feel like I said that last time as well. Like, I want there to be like a link deck. And Spiral's like the link deck. And I think much like, I don't know, like there was a time, this deck competed with Invoke Shadol in like that. Like
Lunar Light Xyz.
Like Invoke Shadol is terrible now. Like no one's playing that. And I just feel like Spiral was also just this horribly inconsistent deck back then. Like in that weird interim where it was the most playable thing, but also sucked ass and lost to like 12 hand traps. Like you drew any hand trap against that deck and it would often scoop.
Droll turned off the turn.
Yeah, it has like no good winder outs. It has no good like board breakers. I just think like Spiral's funny. And also the end board of Spiral's like not even that oppressive compared to a lot of what decks can do. It adds like 12 cards from deck to hand and ends on like 7 hand full board. Like you lose, but I like losing to that. I think it's funny. Master Plan's fine. Yeah, bring it back to 1. It was at 3, wasn't it?
Yeah, it went from 3 to 1. You never played 3 in the deck, though.
No, you played like 2.
The way the argument was
put it to 2, and put Quick Fix to 3 as well. Like, just put all of it back and...
Machine we'll Duke! It.
Yeah.
I think, isn't Quick... No, Drones at 3, isn't it?
Yeah, Drones at
Quick
3.
Quick Fix is still at 1, as so is Resort.
Yeah.
I like that. Master Plan. Joe, what is your chance deal?
I struggled with this a little bit because like there's so many cards on the list where you can say bring this back to 3 and it seems ridiculous, but then like the more you think about it, you're like, it's actually not really a snatch deal. But I went with Pancratops to 3.
Oh my Jesus.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, like that's totally fine.
Like I don't know, like I thought I was tossing up between that and Brilliant Fusion. And kind of both of those cards, like when I thought about it, like yeah, a lot of people would probably play 2 or 3 Pank in the side or whatever, but like is it that bad?
I think it's, again, an argument of, like, people aren't playing Pank now because it's a one-off, and it's a card that isn't good against every deck, right? Like, the reason you play a Harpies and a Reboot in every side deck is because it's going to be at least usable against everything. But, like, you don't want Pank against, like, you know, the Math Mech end board. Like, it's just not going to do much, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's just very specific matchups where, like, Pank is just not that good.
And both the effects are once per turn, so it's not like you can use multiple in a turn anyway. So, like,
at three, it becomes a sideboard tech that's like, all right, if I go up against this deck, I really want Pank, so I'm going to put three in the side and put it in against that deck, as opposed to like a card you put in against every deck.
And arguably, Alpha, like them, is just as good, really.
Oh,
like,
yeah, it's pretty strong.
Like, so, yeah, in a way, it's a bit of a boring snatch deal, like, because it's realistic. But, yeah, I was thinking that Brilliant Fusion or Duster, and like any one of those kind of.
I don't think we need three Dusters.
No, I don't want that either, but, like, yeah.
The reason Pank was limited is because it's the most 2-for-1 that's ever been printed, and it still is.
Yeah.
And occasionally it goes more than 2-for-1. There was like a kind of 3-for-1. Remember that, like, there was just like this horrible part in Toss where, like, you and your opponent would both be like top decking into Pankratopses, and it would just be this, like, you know, who sticks a Pankratops for the longest because that's the best card in every simplified game state.
I also find that
you miss that, right?
It might be, like, good to even bring back for the fact that Winder is around and it's, like, one of the best outs to just summon Pank, attack Winder. Like, but that now, it kind of isn't because, like, with the field spell, like, Winder's now 2-7.
It's 2-7. True, yeah, she is.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
We are getting Kashtari La Fenrir soon, which acts like a Pank, right? It's a pretty goddamn good Pankratops.
So... And I've got a Collector's Rare one that I've had and it's just sat in my folder the whole time.
Yeah, I'm playing, like, a Pank right now just because, like, yeah, you said, like, it's pretty good this format. At dealing with things.
Yeah. My snatch steal, I'm taking a page out of the OCG book. I'm looking forward to upcoming releases. I'm looking forward to upcoming product. And I think what's made a lot of those strategies quite funny, that grass looks greener.
Yeah, this is like the poster child for like fair snatch deals, I think.
Yeah.
I am literally obsessed with this card. I love seeing it in every single list in OCG. Going from 60 to 40, back to 60, you just watch them yo-yo their deck sizes. And I think that this card's just really funny. And it's also useless if everyone goes, well, 60 cards the best variant. So I just think that the strategy is so funny. I think
it's fine.
I think grass is funny.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a snatch deal because, like, it's obviously a badly designed card. It's obviously degenerate and leads to extremely bad play experiences where, like, as a one-off, they just draw it and you lose the game on the spot. Like, it is one of those cards.
Yes.
Unless you chain shifter, which would be very funny. but, you know, like, yeah, it's not a well-designed card. No one would ever argue this card was well-designed.
And I think the amount of pile decks that we've seen in the last couple of years, like, it kind of just, like, stops it from being amazing against everything. Like, imagine if you, like, go to a big tournament, round one, you sit down and you're like, oh, how many cards are you running? Oh, 60? Okay.
But the thing about that, you play it in the deck where, like, not resolving grass is totally fine, right? Like, you'd play it in the Punk mill 20 deck and occasionally draw it and mill 20, but, like, you wouldn't draw it against a 60-card deck and be like, oh, game over. No. Like, the Paleo deck was playing, like, some absolute dog water cards, right? Like, your hand could be... Yeah, you're, like, playing back jacks, you're playing all the bad Paleo traps. Like, your hands could be so bad in that deck. Whereas now I feel like the 60 card decks are already consistent piles of good stuff. And then they just chuck in one grass and then they're like, oh, well, sometimes I'll draw this and win. But yeah, funny. Definitely funny.
I think it's really funny. I think it's always funny looking at the OCG deck list and being like, why is a 60 arc grass? Yeah.
I think that's probably been our most tame snatch deal ever.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
I think we're kind of over it.
We've already picked a bunch of the funny ones, right? Like, I could say I could say snatch deal to three, and like they'd probably be fine, right? Like, Yu-Gi-Oh's at that stupid point where
it literally is
like anything to three, and as long as it's not like a generically accessible extra deck card, yeah, it's probably fine.
There's a few cards on the list that you say it, and there's just no argument at all. Like, if you said, "Oh, graceful to three,"
it just argument to bring graceful back.
You can't or like, put a grade to three. Like, no, like. But then, like, you think about other cards like, I don't know, Trunade or, like, Heavy Storm or something like that to one. Like, it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't warp the format completely. Like, nothing can, everything's been power crept so much that nothing can, like, fully shift the format away from what it is now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still shook that Heavy Storm's not at least at one.
We've got Raikiki we got Harpies and Dark Hole. It's so funny we got Harpies first. Like,
I mean, really, I can see it coming back, realistically, yeah.
I could see Heavy Storm coming back. Honorary sixth pick of the painful choice.
Yeah.
Quite a few honorary picks today.
Honestly, lots, there's a lot of honorary picks.
And Hulk and Scythe should be banned too.
But yeah, that's... as a preface, Hulk and Scythe should be banned.
We just don't want to discuss them because
we're sick of talking about them. Yeah. To be fair though, they got Auroradon, Verte, and Io, so like every time we bring them up, it does bring us closer to the penultimate reality of like...
And we didn't mention Adventure either. I guess that kind of
those cards too. Engines are so boring. Engines. Everything's an engine. Just play your deck.
Yeah, give me the deck.
Just pick a deck and play it, you know? Stop tricking all this.
Give me your deck strategy.
Stop putting all these bad cards in it, you know? Play the cool cards. It'll reward you over time to learn how your deck works, right?
Mm.
Don't just put adventure in everything, people.
Don't just monster mash it.
If I see an adventure sprite player, I'm attacking them on sight. Like, just stop. Just stop, dude. Come on.
I'll be leaping over the table.
Speaking of seeing a lot of sprite players, obviously...
Was it sprite
people...
or sprite?
Sprite. Need to learn that one because our commentating OC. I think we said this last week, but like we are officially doing it. And we need to say sprite.
We do.
And we're going to, and also in a couple of weeks' time, we are going to be commentating a winner box in Dunedin. It's a bit of a, practice run at OC. We have done commentary before, but you know, we're also like, I'm probably using it to like see if we can commentate with tame language, which I'm sure we can.
We're good at that. I'm pretty sure we don't swear.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we complain about things a fair bit when things are happening. So maybe I don't know.
Positivity. Give people a bit of uppers.
And we can just recreate the NAWCQ of just like, and he's activated Mystic Mine.
Ooh, and it's a draw pass. Ooh, draw?
Doesn't look like he's got any plays. Yeah.
We need to like work on not sighing when we see someone flip up anti-spell.
No, I think we just like lean into it, eh?
You're like, ah, man.
Turn them from ass to ooze.
Ooh.
Yeah, no.
Anti-spell. Ooh, floodgates. Yay.
They really spent money on having no fun, huh? They just really... They were like, you know what I want to do $300 of? Flip anti-spell. And they were right to do so.
And I will be doing so. Really? be sure to check out the Dice Jar, Team Dice Jar, I believe, on YouTube for that live stream. And I don't know where the OC stream will be, but I'm sure it'll probably be on like Twitch or YouTube where they usually do it, which is super exciting. You'll be able to catch Joe and Lucas live commentating over the hottest players.
The hottest anti-spell gameplay of your life.
The hottest Mystic Mine activations you'll ever see.
And that prize pool is insane, I have to say. Like, I'm really looking forward to, like, the competition's going to be, like, crazy, like, because of what's up for grabs. Like, I'm really, really excited to see it.
Oh, yes. I'm excited. All the stuff looks pretty gorgeous. It's, you know, I look forward to seeing, getting
so much
for the people to see.
There's so much prizing. Like it goes so far down, and like I'm really looking forward to see what the BLS looks like as well.
Flights and accommodation.
Yeah, so like that's like what a few thousand usually. So yeah, it makes sense. You get something this sick for it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And it's the first like kind of huge tournament in New Zealand for years. Like I'm talking like we had North Island Champs that had over 100 players, but this is like
a huge
big. Yeah.
Well, okay.
So be sure to catch us there. And I can't wait to see everyone playing under these new ban list changes that we ourselves have decreed.
Yeah, actually, these are the rules for OC, everyone. So pay attention.
But as always, thank you so much for listening along for another episode of The Painful Choice by The Face Downs. If you like what you're listening to, please, and you're listening on your preferred podcasting app, please subscribe and leave us a rating. 5 stars is greatly appreciated. If you're listening along on YouTube, please feel free to like, comment, and subscribe. Also, share it with a friend. Let them know where they can find us commentating over the world. And if you have any questions, queries, comments, or concerns, please email us at thefacedowns@gmail.com. I'm sure we'll have a couple of questions going forward. As you know, one being, why are you psychic? How do you predict these ban list changes? And to that, we say, a magician never reveals their secrets. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. They'll be linked on the YouTube description below. And remember to catch us on the live stream for the Oceanic Championships taking place on the 3rd and 4th of September. And as always, thank you so much for listening. I'm Ruben.
I'm Lucas.
And I'm Joe.
And you've been listening to
The Face Downs.